where we've been looking at the essentials of Christianity, and there is nothing more fundamental and more essential to the Christian faith than the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we remember his dying and rising this Easter Sunday, why did he die? Why did he rise? Why is it so important? What's it all about? Those are the questions we're going to think about now. The answer to why did he die and rise is there on the screen. Jesus died and then came back from the dead in order to defeat our greatest enemies. That was why he came. That was his mission, to defeat our greatest enemies by dying and rising. We've all had enemies, haven't we? Perhaps we still have enemies. Maybe, boys and girls, there's a bully or an unkind teacher at your school. Or perhaps, adults, you have a horrible boss at work who makes your life a misery. Or maybe we have a so-called friend who betrayed us and they've hurt us deeply. Sometimes our enemies are much bigger and scarier than that. Corrupt governments, aggressive nations, life-threatening illnesses. We've all encountered enemies, haven't we? But here's the thing. Our greatest enemies of all are sin and death. Sin, because it causes evil and suffering, and it brings us punishment. Death, because it separates us from those we love and brings immense sadness and grief into our lives. But Jesus died to defeat sin, and Jesus rose to defeat death. That was his mission. That was his purpose. That's why he made the journey from heaven to earth, to defeat our greatest enemies. Let's start off by thinking about how Jesus defeated our enemy of sin. He died to defeat sin, but before we think about that in any detail, let's consider this question. What is sin? What do we mean by sin? We say Jesus died to defeat sin, but let's define our terms. What is sin? Sin is when we rebel against God. Boys and girls, to rebel against God means to say no to God. That's what rebellion against God is. It's when we say by our words, or by our actions, or by our thoughts, no, God, I'm not going to obey you. No, God, I don't want you in my life. No. I know what's best for me. You don't. Stay out of it. That's sin, that attitude which becomes words and actions and thoughts. Sin is when we ignore God, push him away, break his commands, go our own way. And sin does two things. Well, sin does a lot of things actually, but two things in particular. It ruins things and it brings us punishment. Sin ruins life. Sin makes life miserable. God's commands are all about us loving other people and caring for other people and putting other people before ourselves and so on. But because of the sin in our lives, we often break those commands, and so we hurt other people. Sin causes there to be evil in our hearts, so that we say things and we do things that make other people sad, that damage other people. We see this in our own lives, if we're honest. I know I've hurt other people because of the sinful things I've said and done. Perhaps also we've been on the receiving end of sin. We've been damaged by other people because of the sinful things that they've said and done to us. We see it in our own lives, but we see it in the world, don't we? Just buy a newspaper. Every page, pretty much, reports on the suffering and the misery and the evil caused by sin. Just go on social media and read through what people say, and you will see Sin causes us to mistreat one another. Sin ruins things, but sin also brings us God's punishment. Because we sin, God must punish us. We're familiar with this concept, aren't we, in society? If somebody does something wrong, they must be punished. If somebody drives their car much too fast and they break the speed limit, they must be punished by points on their license or something like that. If somebody commits a crime, they must be punished by going to prison for a period of time. We know, because of justice, that it's good to punish bad and it's right to punish wrong. And in the same way, because God is a God of justice, he must punish us for the wrong in our lives, for the sins that we've committed. The Bible says that anyone who has sinned will be punished after they die. And that punishment has been separated from God forever. Separated from everything that is good and right and lovely and true and pure and joyful and happy. Separated from light, living in darkness forevermore. That's the punishment. The Bible says that everyone has sinned. You can see that in this verse on the screen, Ecclesiastes 7:20. We're all sinners, and therefore we all have to be punished, every one of us. But God doesn't want to punish us. He doesn't enjoy punishing us. He doesn't take some perverse pleasure in sending us to hell after we die to punish us. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants to save us, and so he has made a way for us to be saved from sin. Jesus came into the world and voluntarily allowed himself to be punished in our place. That's why he died. That's why the creator of the universe allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. Because when he was on the cross, he was defeating sin. He was taking on himself the punishment we deserve. Sin, our greatest enemy. Sin causing so much evil, suffering, pain in the world. Sin that brings us punishment. We can't stop sinning. We can't overcome sin. But Jesus did overcome it. He had no sin. He never sinned because he was the Son of God, and yet he was willing to take the punishment for our sin. And in doing that, he defeated sin. He broke the power of sin over us, because sin no longer has the final word in our lives. The Bible says if we trust in Jesus, then the punishment that we deserve for our sin falls on him. And if we trust in Jesus, by his Spirit, he lives in us and he transforms us from the inside out so that sin no longer controls us. So that we find that over time, we have more and more power over sin. We can resist it gradually, gradually, gradually. We sin less and less and less. That's how Jesus defeated sin. That's why he came into the world. That's what he achieved when he died on the cross. I wonder, will you trust in Jesus this Easter Sunday? If you haven't already done so, will you come to Jesus and say, yeah, I can't overcome my sin. I can't stop sinning. I can't avoid the punishment. I need you, Jesus. I trust in you because you took my punishment on yourself. And if you come into my life, you'll give me new power, new desires, new delights over sin. Will you do that? Will you put your faith, your belief, your trust in Jesus? Sin is our greatest enemy. Jesus died to defeat sin. But let's move on now and think about how death is also our greatest enemy. Death is so very terrible because it brings such great sadness into our lives. It separates us from those we love forever. There's a horrible finality about death. We can't avoid death. We can't escape death. We can't stop ourselves or other people dying. Once somebody has died, they stay dead, except Jesus. He died, but he didn't stay dead. He came back from death. I love this passage. I'm going to read it out. And from Luke chapter 24, this just describes the pure shock that the disciples felt when they encountered Jesus as he had come back from death. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And I think once they'd got over their shock, once they touched him and made sure it really was him and not a ghost, you can imagine their joy, can't you? "We saw you die. You were put in the tomb. You were dead. But here you are. You've conquered death." You can imagine their joy. By rising from death, he had achieved the impossible, as Alison reminded us earlier, by holding up, by the children holding up their signs. He'd achieved the impossible. He had beat the unbeatable. Jesus had slain the slayer by rising from death. By coming back from the grave, he proved his power over death. Beyond dispute, death couldn't hold him. And again, the Bible says, if we put our trust in him, although we die, one day, like him, we will rise and we will live eternally with him. The resurrection gives us hope. Hope that death is not the end. Hope that death is not the final terrible thing, and that's, then there's no hope after that. Yes, there is hope after that. Life awaits. That's the hope the resurrection gives us. Life that's not ruined by sin. Life doesn't have war and bloodshed and fighting and all those horrible things that we encounter in our world. Life where things don't always go wrong. Life that we will long for. Life where relationships work. Life where we are in harmony with the planet. We don't pollute it and ruin it. That life awaits us if we put our trust in Jesus. So as I finish off this talk on this Easter Sunday, I want to ask, how about you? Will you trust in Jesus so that you can know that you will rise again like he did? Will you put your trust in Jesus so that you can know that you're heading for eternal life after death? Will you trust in Jesus so that you can know for sure you're saved from punishment, so you don't have anything to fear at the end when your day to die comes? Will you trust in Jesus so that you're no longer under the control of sin? You know what? The most powerful thing that we can say this Easter is, "I need Jesus." That's the most powerful words that we can say. Because our confidence can't be in ourselves. It has to be in Jesus. Because we can't defeat our greatest enemies. We can't stop sinning and solve all the problems of sin. We can't stop dying. Only he can defeat our greatest enemies. And the most powerful words you can say, "I need Jesus." Will you say them? Will you say, "Yes, Jesus, I need you. I trust you. I follow you." If you've come to the point where you've realised that you do need Jesus and you want to put your trust in him, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do so right now as we finish off. I'm going to say a prayer now, a prayer, which you can say with me in your heart if you want to become a Christian right now and trust in Jesus. So I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes and to bow your heads. I'm going to say this prayer. If you want to follow Jesus now, if you want to start a life with him, knowing that your greatest enemies have been defeated, say this prayer with me silently in your heart. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you to defeat sin and death for me. I put my trust in you. I believe in you that you took the punishment I deserve for my sin and that you defeated death to secure me eternal life. I commit to following you now and for the rest of my life. Amen. Keeping our eyes closed for a second, if you said that prayer with me in your heart and you really meant it, would you raise your hand, please? Thank you. Put your hands down. Do come and chat to me afterwards, or I'll come and try and find you. You can open your eyes now. Perhaps, though, you didn't say that prayer because you're sceptical. Maybe you're thinking, okay, you've told me that Jesus rose from the dead. But how do I know it's true? I need evidence. Well, I've got good news for you. Christianity is based on evidence. The resurrection has supporting evidence. And I want to recommend and offer you these two books. They are down here on this table. The first is called Is Easter Unbelievable? Four questions everyone should ask about the resurrection story. Really, really good and important and helpful questions. Just quickly, they are, did Jesus really live in history? Is it fair for one person to die for another? How can a rational person believe Jesus rose from the dead? Does anyone genuinely want to live forever? And then the second book, The Case for Easter, written by a man called Lee Strobel, a really interesting story. He was a journalist for the Chicago Tribune or some paper like that. And his wife became a Christian. He was an atheist. He thought, oh no, my wife's become a Christian. And then he thought, I know what, I'll show her it's not true. I'll investigate the evidence and I'll present it to her and that'll convince her. So he did that, except he found there was evidence and it convinced him and he became a Christian. So please take that book if you want to know more about the supporting evidence for the resurrection. There's other literature on the table too. It's all free. We've bought it as a church to give to you. So please take it, and also take it if you want to give it to someone else who's maybe sceptical or would be interested in reading it. Thank you so much for coming along today and listening to me. It's been great to share with you, to celebrate together. I'm going to hand back to Malcolm, I think it is. God bless you. Thank you.